This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. Ready for an awesome episode? Well, so are we. But you know what? Before we get to it, I got to tell you that members of Navy Federal Credit Union could earn more and save more. Bam! Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as our friends at Navy Federal do. Start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit. For example, you could open an Easy Start certificate for just $50. And then how many certificates do this? You can then add money at any time and watch your savings grow. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Membership required. Terms and conditions apply. Loan subject to approval. Well, hey there. I'm super happy that you joined us for today's episode. And we're going to get right on it. But if you read the material, well, you know what? There's a caution for people that didn't read the description of today's show. Our special guests are two phenomenal women who have a blog that I love that has a name that you may want to take a look at before you listen to it with maybe smaller people in the car with you or in a space where they may hear it. So we're not only going to say that word because it's what they do, we're going to say the another word very similar to that. You know that we beep out whenever we have bad language, which isn't that often, but we do try to beep it out in this case. Really don't think that it's right because it is the name of their blog. So here we go. Let's get it done. You're going to love today's episode, but I wanted to give you just a little heads up before we go. All right, Steve, press play on this thing and let's get it moving.
Is this your place?
No.
I live with my mom.
Oh.
Yeah. You hungry?
Hey, Ma, can we get some meatloaf?
Live from Joe's mom's basement, it's the Stacking Benjamin Show. I'm Joe's mom's cousin Diana. Today, we'll dive deep into one famous writer's thoughts about money with the Bitches Get Riches ladies, Kitty and Piggy.
Hi.
Plus, our own Mr. Howell, OG. And finally, the man who played the title role in Gilligan's Island, he's dead. It's just the very much alive. I think anyway, is he moving? Yes, it is Len Penzo. But that's not all. Halfway through the show, I'll share my faraway trivia question. And now a guy who's the skipper to my captain, it's Joe Salcihi.
Everybody, welcome to Gilligan's Island Reprise Week on the show. I am Joe Salcihi, and what a start, Diana Miriam. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I am ready to be the skipper of this podcast because we have a fine crew, as you know.
Absolutely.
Great crew. Let's meet them. First of all, the guy sitting across the card table from me, as always, Mr. OG's here. Were you a big Gilligan's Island fan back in the day? Watch the reruns?
I was going to say, that's, you know, on the edge of like old person talking. So I'm aware that Gilligan's Island existed. You and Len probably saw the initial, what's it called? The pilot. You guys probably watched the pilot on ABC or whatever it was.
I don't know. Let's ask him. The guy deep under Los Angeles in his bunker as usual, Mr. Len Penzo's here. Len, did you watch the pilot of Gilligan's Island?
I didn't know there was a pilot on the island. I thought there was a skipper and there was Gilligan, but maybe I missed that.
It doesn't get better than this.
I'm not so sure.
Yeah. How are you, Mr. Penzo?
Well, you know, I just had my 60th birthday, and I know,
holy crap,
Joe, you're a little younger than me, but it was kind of traumatic here, and I've been reflecting, and you know, I used to think I was indecisive, but now I'm not so sure.
Oh my God.
What?
And it's still.
Thank you.
And wondering
Thank you.
What the hell they're doing here. They have not been with us since Diana, your economy conference where we did our live show. We've got the Bitches Get Riches ladies back. The blog that I have said over and over is not aimed at me, but is my favorite blog on earth by far. Piggy and Kitty here. How are you, ladies?
We're great.
We are ready for this 3-hour tour.
I mean, we do have our agent on the phone complaining that we're here, but
yeah, if we are actually, we're out. We're out.
We're already in it. We already put clothes on, so we're here. We're ready.
Well, and just so people know the voices, because this is there's two of you playing on Team Paula Pant this week, since she couldn't be here. Let's do the voices so everybody knows in audio land. Kitty, how are you?
I am Kitty, and I want to be the Pant in the Paula Pant.
And then the Paula in the Paula Pant is Piggy.
Yes, I am the Paula in this Paula Pant. I am Piggy. We are the Bitches and Bitches Get Riches.
And by the way, oh my God, this is funny. I started that sentence and I got halfway through it. I have no f-ing idea what I was going to say.
By the way.
It doesn't get any better, does it, Len?
Unfortunately, no.
And I'm significantly younger. I have no idea.
Well, I don't know about significantly.
And the memories.
It's a rounding error.
I'm going to keep playing that card, Len.
I think Joe rounds to 60 at this point. So
I'm going to keep playing that card. But anyway, Piggy and Kitty, last time you guys regaled us with your theme song on Diana's economy stage. That was fantastic. I was surprised your agent wasn't talking to you more about that, about like going on tour with Taylor Swift.
You know, we had offers, but at the end, we just felt that there wasn't quite synergy between our brands. You know, tons of respect and admiration for Taylor and what she's doing, but, you know, we needed to go our own way.
I'm so glad you used the word synergy because it's my least favorite word, and so I try to use it constantly. I really appreciate
You're
it.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And we were on stage together at Economy. Diana, how's the Economy Conference? I can't believe it's next weekend. How are tickets looking?
It's funny because I see an email come through. I shouldn't be paying attention to this, but
nice. Glad you're here with us, Diana.
Two more tickets literally just sold, so it's very exciting.
Yes. If you go to economy.com and you use code Stacking Benjamins.
Economyconference.com.
Economy
and the code
conference.
Is Stacking Benjamins, all one word, you get 10% off.
Get it
if
right.
If there's any tickets left, those could have been the last two that just sold. I don't know. I can't keep track anymore.
Who knows? Well, we've got a great piece from the Morgan Housel. So we're going to dive into that in just a second. Today's roundtable discussion brought to you by State Farm. State Farm agents are small business owners too, so they know how to help you choose personalized policies that fit your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. They were, Piggy, a neighbor of yours, huh?
Yes, that is correct. I grew up in Normal, Illinois, which is right next door to their corporate headquarters. I ate a lot of very sad lunches in their cafeteria. So thanks, State Farm. Thank
you. Sad lunches brought to you by State Farm. That's not the marketing they're looking for from us here, Kitty.
No, get that we're right. Throwing that on top for free.
That's a bonus. By the way, what was on those sandwiches at State Farm?
I remember a lot of wilted lettuce. And keep in mind, this is the Midwest. So ranch dressing and cheddar cheese is what makes.
This episode is sponsored by State Farm. You a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Well, look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers. They're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today. No mayonnaise? How come there wasn't any mayonnaise?
We're working on that.
It's Miracle Whip. It's the Midwest. Midwest.
Thank you.
Miracle Whip.
I believe it's pronounced Aioli.
Whip.
Not the native New Englander.
Like, whoa, back off, Midwestern people. Yeah. Well, Kitty, I'm sure you've done poetry around Miracle Whip.
Miracle Whip is its own poetry.
Stackers, controlling your money on a day-to-day basis comes down to two things. Number one, great communication, either with yourself or with a partner. And by great communication, what do I mean? I mean, sitting down with your app of choice and putting together your strategy based on what you spent the week before. It's super easy, a 20-minute meeting a week. You look through your expenses and then you plot out what are you going to do next week. And you know what? That might seem little, but the big things stem from that. And if you have an app that keeps that in front of you, that helps make it even easier. And the app Cheryl and I use is Monarch Money. We've been using it now for about a year. As you may know, I've used lots of different solutions, and this is by far the one I've stuck with the longest. It helps Cheryl and I collaborate. We can talk about our financial goals. For us, it's travel. We're also adding to our house. We have a goal in a few years to really work on our lawn as well and just make it a pretty place to live. But the travel piece, as you know, if you've listened to me for any amount of time, that's a big one. And what's cool is I can put our financial independence goals and our journey up right next to our budget, because everything at Monarch is very intuitive. It is very customizable. So what the heck is Monarch? You're sitting there wondering to yourself, aren't you? Person I just made up. Yes. Let me tell you what it is. It's an all-in-one personal finance app. It gives you comprehensive view of all your accounts, your investments, your transactions, and more. You can create custom budgets, track your progress toward your financial goals, and collaborate with your partner. And now, stackers, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. Got to have the slash Benjamins to get the extended 30-day free trial so you can see that you'll like it as much as I do. How does it work? Well, it's very intuitive. It has a simple, intuitive design that makes it easy to set up, customize, and use. You can collaborate with your partner, family, or your financial advisor. What's cool is you can invite all these people to your account at no extra cost. So you can collaborate and everybody gets their own login info and everybody gets a joint view of your finances. And as I mentioned earlier, it's customizable, and best yet, it's ad-free privacy you can trust. No ads. You're not being marketed. When I had other apps that were free, I got marketed all the time. Well, not only do they not do that, they also don't sell your data to third parties. After trying out Monarch for myself and using it for about a year now on a daily basis, I totally get why it's the top rated personal finance app. And right now, because you're a stacker, you're going to get an extended 30-day free trial when you go to monarchmoney.com/Benjamins. That's Monarch Money, monarchmoney.com/Benjamins for your extended 30-day free trial. That was an amazing poem. Thank you for regaling us with that. We've got Kitty and Piggy here. The bitches are with us. Diana Merriam and Len Penzo. So let's go. While our little intro was playing there, Len, you decided that you and OG need to be the bastards then?
Yes, I think that's only appropriate. I feel a little left out. You know, you've got Kitty and Piggy over here getting their own
of course
title.
Of course.
I want a title too.
Yeah, the bitches and the bastards.
You with me, OG?
Yeah, sure. Whatever, man.
And so where does that leave Diana? Piggy, you're making her an honorary...
Oh, Diana's an honorary bitch. She has been part of our family for quite some time. So
Diana, I've always thought of you as a huge bitch.
I've been a bitch my whole life, actually.
You know what? She was... Listen, some people are born to bitchiness. Some have it thrust upon them. And Diana, I think we can safely say, was born to it.
Thank you. I've been working on my resting bitch face for this recording. So I hope you all enjoy that.
Chef's kiss.
Diana, if you want to identify as a bastard, you're welcome in our group.
No. We claimed her for hours. She's ours, Len. Back off.
I told OG before we started recording how much fun we're going to have. And I was like, I wonder if we're ever going to get to the piece. And I know that's what everybody's thinking right now. This is by Morgan Housel. He has a few thoughts on spending money, specifically 13. Don't know if he thought about that unlucky number. But Morgan just published this at the end of January, and I found these super interesting. Let's start with just his first one. We're going to walk through a few of these. I'll link to them on our show notes page at stackybenjamins.com. But you truly do not need to read along. We're going to give you everything you need and more. The place I want to start is Morgan says this. There are two ways to use money. One is as a tool to live a better life. The other is as a yardstick of status to measure yourself against others. Many people aspire for the former, but get caught up chasing the latter. I don't know. Kitty, let's start with you. Was there ever a time in your life when you found yourself chasing the admiration of others by spending more money or chasing their love?
Well, Joe, first I want to say that I agree that money is a tool, and I would know because I'm a huge tool myself.
It's true.
I have found, yes, that for me, money is typically secondary. What I am often chasing is achievement. And those two things so often go hand in hand together. And it's taken me 100% of my life and will continue to take me more to figure out what is the difference between an achievement that I really want for myself versus what is an achievement that is me trying to be the best little girl in the world who wants to prove that I am worthy of love, worthy of respect, worthy of the space that I take up in the world. And so I really feel that one in that way. Money often comes when you chase achievements, but do you even really need it?
Well, it just makes me think, Piggy, that what Kitty's saying, I feel like the internet makes it worse. Like social media makes that even worse, don't you?
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. 100%. And I mean, this is, if you have ever wanted to travel or you follow travel Instagrams, or I believe the children are calling it TikTok. That's the one. That's the one the kids are on. Yeah. If you follow those traveling accounts, it can be really easy to look around and be like, oh, all these people are taking fabulous European vacations. All these people are spelunking in Asia. Why am I not doing that? Clearly I'm missing out on something. So it can be really easy to derail your own plans and your own sort of purposes that you've set money aside for, because you feel like you should be doing something that you're not. You should be keeping up with the Joneses, or in some ways living up to these aspirational social media accounts on that clockety app.
I think it's possible to have a little bit of both here, where you're using money as a tool to buy your freedom, but it's also a little bit of a flex. So I'll give you an example. I drive a 2010 Mazda 3. Like, there is no
scoreboard
flex when it comes to my car, right? But I had a bumper sticker on the back for a long time that said, my other vehicle is a 401k, which is actually a big flex. So I think there's a fun way to combine the two there.
Excellent finance pun, by the way.
I think it's funny how a flex in our community is different. Like, my car's got 250,000 miles on it. Bam. Like, it's a whole different type of flex. Len, you were young once upon a time, I heard. Supposedly.
A long time ago.
Did you find yourself getting caught up in the yardstick of status to measure yourself against other people?
No.
Not at all.
I've never been impressed by displays of wealth or supposed displays of wealth. Maybe it's because I realized that just because you can flash wealth or you have wealth, you are like a flashy car or something, that doesn't mean you're wealthy anyways, does it? It could mean, and in many cases, it probably means you're just over-leveraged yourself with debt, and you're living paycheck to paycheck to keep that thing on the road and impress people. So for me, that's never been an issue with me. I bought my very first new car when I was 50 years old, which unbelievably was a decade ago from there. So I've never had that. And that's fortunate for me, I think, because it sure helped me save as much as I needed to retire when I did.
How old were you when you retired, Len?
I was 58.
Attaboy.
Did you walk uphill both ways with no shoes to retirement?
Yes.
Was it snowing?
You know what, folks? Work hard and save your money. That way, when you're old like me, you can buy the things that only young people can enjoy.
Like squirrel watching cameras and apps.
Yes. Yeah.
Which our community can't get enough of. And Kitty and Piggy have no idea that we're not kidding. Len has these cool squirrel watching apps.
How dare you think that in my household, we are not the kind of people who go running into the next room to say, oh my God, there's a blue jay. There's a blue jay. Hurry, run. We've got to see him.
Birds are one thing. I get birds. Like, they're different and they're colorful, but squirrels? Kitty? Squirrels.
Kitty, all you need is a camera. If you have a camera, you don't need to run anywhere. You can sit in your couch and watch TV and then still pick up your phone and see the squirrel or blue jay.
You're
on
so
the
right.
Camera view.
Shame on me for wanting to burn a calorie. I will consider this an investment in my future. Thank you.
Well, you see this? We got you on the status thing right there, Kitty. Like, if you have any status with us, you're going to buy the squirrel cam.
Yeah, exactly.
I've got to get a squirrel cam. Otherwise, what will the boys think of me?
Imagine Len in this like Batman-esque command center with like screens upon screens of squirrel cams displaying.
Cardinal alert.
Not yet.
Please tell me you have a squirrel picnic table, though.
We do.
Oh, thank
absolutely.
God.
And I painted on the side of it, says nuts, 5 cents. So it's really cool in the video. So you can see the.
But those bastards don't pay, Len. They don't pay.
I know. Well, you know what's funny is I always ask the honey badger, they leave a nickel this time? No, they never. They've never left a nickel. Yes.
It's the honor system, but squirrels have no honor.
Squirrels have no honor.
We're in for like $30 a month in nuts for these squirrels. It's almost as expensive as a dog.
Yeah, this is the road to fire, people. Like, you heard it here first. Get yourself a squirrel cam, spend $30 a month on nuts, and you'll be at early retirement before you know it.
No, Piggy, this is the road to a podcast nobody listens to. This is what this road is. Welcome to Squirrel Cam Radio. Yeah. Oh, gee, and I'm sure you see this all the time, is that people constantly, I mean, they will tell you when they're in your financial planning office that they want a better life, and yet when you look at the things they own, it says, I want status.
It's like the Maury Povich show, right? Like, you say that you are the father. The test results show you are not.
Right.
Or, you know, whatever.
You say you're interested in retirement, but however.
Yeah, you want to retire, but your spending pattern suggests that you want to work till you're 93. I think there's a time and a place for all of these experiences and kind of the story arc of, I'm surprised, Len, that you said that it's never happened to you. And I suppose you're probably in the minority.
Oh, I'm sure. Like, yes.
Vast minority.
I'm sure I'm in the minority. Yes.
And he talks about a little bit later about like different types of money. Like if you came from money or if you came from not having money, that's going to maybe kind of pull you in one direction or another. But we've talked a lot about the transition from things to experiences. And I think that at some level, like you just have enough stuff to not actually care about having more stuff, but instead you do want to do those things. I stopped going on Instagram because of the Yellowstone Club. If you don't follow Yellowstone Club on Instagram, you're missing out on FOMO like crazy, because it is the most magical place in the world. And Justin Timberlake has a house there, apparently, and Jerry Seinfeld. And you pretty much realize that there's no chance that you'll ever have $30 million to spend on one house. Not like 30 million total, but just like one house is 30 million. You're like, holy crap. What do I not know that that exists? Like, there's so much out there. It's too much. It's too much. Just do you. Focus on what's important to you. And if you want to drive a fancy car, drive a fancy car, but don't do it at the expense of other financial goals. And I think that's the biggest thing when it comes to planning and kind of doing your thing, is that what I like to do and what I spend money on, maybe different than what you want to spend money on, and that's totally fine. But as long as you're reaching your financial goals and I'm reaching my financial goals, who gives a crap?
Up near the top of this piece as well is this quote from Morgan. Money's a tool you can use, but if you're not careful, it will use you. Sometimes the stuff you spend money on is so much influence over your autonomy and sanity that it's not clear whether you own things or the things own you. Piggy, let's start with you on that one, because I immediately thought of some stuff. I'm like, well, how does money own me? Like, when you read this, how do you think, in what ways can money own you if you're not careful?
I thought of one word, and that word is burnout. I think a lot of people in the quest to, whether it's to retire early or to achieve some lofty financial goal, they end up burning themselves out for the sake of accumulating money. And we the bitches are actually releasing a course this month on burnout, how to identify it, how to manage it, how to make sure it's not ruling your life. But I think that that's the biggest way that money can rule you, is the mindless accumulation of it with no thought to how you are a living, breathing bag of blood along the way, and that you have biological needs like sleep, and you have emotional needs like rest and relaxation and hobbies and whatever else floats your boat and rubs your Buddha. If we're talking about money ruling us, the biggest thing we need to be worried about is being intentional not to just run face first into a wall of burnout and stress on our way to allowing money ruling us.
It's funny, Piggy. We had John Acuff on the show back in early January. Actually, I take that back. First week of January. And I asked him about burnout, and he said this. He's like, people talk about burnout is just doing too much. He said burnout, in his opinion, is burnout is when those actions don't meet your priorities. When you realize that I'm doing a bunch of stuff, like you don't get burnout doing the crap you like, right?
Yeah.
You get burnout when you're like, I am doing so much stuff and none of this aligns with my goals. And I'm seeing you nod your head.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You can do things that align with your goals, but there's no way that one can work super. And I say this as somebody who worked super hard to pay off my student loan debt. Like, if there were times in that journey when I was so burned out and I was so tired because I was working multiple jobs and I was putting every penny toward my debt, which is exactly what we tell people to do when they're trying to get out of debt. But there came moments where I was just like, you know what? If I spent $6 on a beer right now, like, would that really hurt my goals that much? Not so much, but it would help me relax. It would put me in a position where I am in a place where I have nothing to do, nowhere to be, and I can just socialize and I can just relax, or, you know, spending a couple dollars on a bath bomb or whatever is going to relax you. That's not going to set your goals behind that much, but it is going to do a lot for your ability to persevere and your endurance to get through without burning out and then losing way more progress towards your goals.
But it's funny though, we did a show a couple weeks ago where we talked about, you talked about having a beer, not going to hurt you toward your goals, but there are people on the big time, you know, I'm an overachiever, I'm working in this big organization, I'm trying to climb the corporate ladder, that that one beer piggy turns into self-medication. And then, and then it totally goes against what you're trying to do.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that that's totally fair. And I think that there was a time in my life when I was one of those people. And
oh, I totally was.
Yeah, like Kitty can attest to this. Like, we've all been there. I think it's learning to moderate yourself. Like, do you guys know what Rumspringa is? It's like when all the, okay, great, I'm teaching you a new word. This is so fun. So Amish kids.
I learned about Rumshaker listening to what was that rap song in the early 90s?
Inappropriate. This is a whole different inappropriate.
Oh, that's,
cut that.
That's a different thing.
Nope. Slightly different. No, Rumspringa is what happens when Amish kids are in their late teens and they've grown up in this Amish community. They don't have technology. They don't have access to the internet. And their parents say, all right, for the next year, you're going out into the secular world and you're going to do whatever you want for that year. And if at the end of the year, you're ready to come back and live the Amish lifestyle, great. And if not, also no foul, like go on and live in the secular world. And what they find is a lot of these kids who have spent their whole life so restricted, living this very restrictive Amish lifestyle, they go out in the world and they go nuts. They party, they drink, they do all these wild experiences and they just have a great time. And then when they come back, they're like, whew, okay, I think I'm ready to buckle down. I think I really believe in our lifestyle and I'm ready to get to it. And I feel like the concept of Rumspringa is just like, if you bottle something up so much, like you're way more willing to keeping it under pressure, like a bottle of champagne, you pop it and it just like all comes pouring out. So the point, and I do have one, is that if we are bottling up all our self-care, all of our little tiny luxuries, like a beer after work or a bubble bath. Can you guys tell I really need a bubble bath? If you're bottling all these up and you're not engaging in even one small form of self-care, you're far more likely to burn out and then like just go nuts with using multiple beers as a coping mechanism or self-medicating in some way, which is why you need to engage in this very moderate, very planned, intentional form of relaxation and self-care as you're on your financial journey. Because you don't want to have your Rumspringa moment, which will totally throw you off your goals.
That's wild. I'd never heard of that. And we had
Amish the last country. 25 years has been that for me.
Your Rumspringa moment?
Yes, absolutely.
Rumspringa 20 years.
I'm ready to buckle down, guys. All right. All right. Just maybe one more weekend though.
Welcome and then back, I'll be OG. Back.
And then I'll be back. Maybe on Monday.
It's funny. I love where you took that, Piggy, because that was not at all what I was thinking about. Kitty, when you read this, what came across your mind for money when using
I,
you?
When I read what? What I read? This, we read something? There was homework?
Were we supposed to do this? When you saw that money's a tool you use, but if you're not careful, it can use you. I was like, what? I didn't think at all what Piggy thought, but I love that. What did you think?
You know, it's interesting. What came to mind for me first was the number of people that I know who have set up a lifestyle where they feel that it's necessary for them to spend an awful lot of money in order to not provide for themselves, but to provide for everyone around them. I think of the people that I know who take on a second job that they do on nights and weekends because they want to be able to afford to send their child to private school. That is the kind of decision that people make because not only is sending their child to the best possible school important to them, but it's part of their identity that I want to live my values. And part of my values is that I'm going to be the best parent that I can be. And I'm going to make sure that my children have every advantage that I'm capable of giving them. But what is so interesting is when you see people who really like overcommit to providing the best of everything, you often end up with like the consequence of that decision is like that this hypothetical parent then isn't spending that time, those nights and weekends with their child. Or maybe they're going to the soccer game, but they're like furiously typing on a tablet the whole time, which is just so depressing.
Spending money instead of spending time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just becomes a trap that I don't know how to show the world or the people around me what my priorities are unless I'm spending money and time on them. And that is oftentimes that is how we can show that something's important to us. We spend our time and we spend our money on it. Those are our two most limited resources. But the consequence is that can you show how much something matters to you without throwing money at it? Can you show someone how much you love them and how much you want to provide for them without spending a dime? It's challenging. And I don't blame people who get stuck in a loop of thinking that, well, my child or my partner or my family or my dog deserves the very best in life. I just bought an 80-pound bag of dog food. It was so expensive. And my old dog, who I bought it for to try to put weight on him, he won't eat it. So you know what? Screw all these hangers on. Look out for yourself.
Len does the same thing for the squirrels. He takes the acorns and spreads peanut butter on every single one.
He's like, I'm saving room.
They do get special treats. They'll get an avocado. Sometimes we'll throw a little pecan in with the walnuts. Some of them like bread. Some, you know, the nice French bread. They enjoy
it. In about 6 weeks from now, we're going to hear this story on Len's blog about how the squirrels got into the attic. They ruined all the insulation.
Nah, this is California. The squirrels don't Len's even bother.
Squirrels eat better than I do.
I know.
Your avocado toast feasting squirrels. My God.
They're going to rise up against you.
Let's bougie you better be squirrels careful. In the backyard.
Some lattes.
So, Kitty, I love where you took that also, and that's not where I took it either. Len, how about you? What did you think when you saw this?
Well, to me, it's when you allow money to be a drug for you, and you kind of abuse money. And most people abuse money by spending up to their income level. So, and then you get in that hamster wheel where you continually want more, and you have to strive to make more and more and more and more just to keep pace. So to me, it's like any drug. I mean, it's a great thing in small quantities, but if you abuse it, it can end up being very addictive and it can actually backfire on you. So the quest for more money, and it comes down really to self-restraint. I mean, there comes a point, like I remember when I was younger, I had a goal in mind. I remember when I first started work, I said, well, I want to make X salary. You know, if I can get to that number, I'm going to be perfectly fine. I mean, life's going to be great. And usually that works as long as you're willing to, once you get to that X number, you don't continue. I mean, you spend way below your means, you live below your means, and don't expand your spending to get to that number. Because if you continually expand your spending to match whatever your salary increase is or your income, whatever it is, it kind of increases that hunger, that drive for more money, and forces you to probably work harder than you really want, should be working to be healthy anyways.
I got this much and now I got this raise. And so if I get the next raise, then I can buy X, and then you're in this buy cycle loop.
Yeah. And you have to continually keep getting raises, right? To continue. And if you don't, you're really up a creek too. So
it's the beginning of the rat race right there. Yep. That's the beginning of the rat race. Still not what I was thinking. OG, how about you?
It's like a competition to try to read Joe's mind.
No, actually, it's not at all. I was like, I was going to go through 13 of these.
Why don't you just
these.
Tell us what you're thinking instead of asking all of us? No, the thing that popped in my head for this around having money control you was the experience that we had in the pursuit of all of the real estate that we owned. And I was thinking about this in a couple of contexts, both from the rental property standpoint of I'm investing into passive income, which was a crap load of work to get a little bit of income. Now it paid off in the back end, and
the most passive investment you ever had.
Yes. And people talk about this stuff. Like I retired when I'm 34 and I, with all this money and look how great I am. It's like, well, yeah, now you make 300 grand a year blogging. So, you know, you didn't really retire. You changed jobs, which is a different way of saying it.
Yeah, I want more people to talk about that.
It doesn't bother me, you know, but don't tell somebody you're retired. I mean, that's fine. But my point is,
I want our blog to make 300 grand. Can you hook us up with a?
I know.
Yeah. Whatever that was.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, as soon as we figure out how to do it.
Kitty,
well.
Here's what you do. And it worked for me. I did just get all your readers and tell them to click on every ad on your blog page. And I'm telling you, you can make a good chunk of change.
Les does that actively.
Those nickels roll in. Click just here click to
everything.
Support the blog.
Just click everything. Click everything.
He's got a banner on the top. His website's called clickeverything.com.
Yeah.
Click everything. Glenpenzo.com/clickeverything.
Clickhere.info. I love it.
We're going to play a game today, everybody.
Who gets the most clicks?
How many of these ads can you click in a minute?
It's called Pay My Water Bill. Here's how it works.
Reminded me of the guy that sold a website for had a million pixels. It was a 10,000 by 10,000, and you could buy each pixel with your brand for $1. And so people were buying, you know, 5 pixels and 10 pixels until he filled it all up, and he had $1 million.
How come we didn't think
he
of that
did
from yeah, one,
oh
my God. One thing. But anyways, this whole pursuit of like passive income with rental properties was anything but. It was like this huge expense of time, this huge expense of money and capital to allegedly free myself up from having to work for money. And it was like, well, that didn't work, you know, because I spent so much time and energy trying to do all the time and energy as opposed to the actual passive thing. Or another great example is, you know, you buy a lake house or something like that. And you're like, I have just done this great thing. And what do? You have to go work, back to Len's point, but you have to go work to afford the lake house that you can no longer, I think Kitty was talking about this too, that you can no longer go to because you have to work to afford the lake house, but you're now working extra time that you couldn't do. It's just like this weird cycle of more, which is really bizarre. So I don't know, Joe, was that what you were thinking about? Or were you thinking about something completely different?
That was,
not what I was,
well, that we're was out of time. The closest to what I was thinking. Yes.
And we're out of
Wait,
time.
Do I
and
get a turn?
Yes.
I
absolutely
think I know what Joe is thinking.
It doesn't matter what
Save
I was
us,
thinking.
Diana.
I'm loving
Save
what all
us.
You guys were thinking. I don't, if anybody's wondering, I don't care what I was thinking. I will tell you what I was thinking, but it doesn't matter. It's incredible though. I think what we're getting is the number of ways money can control you, because all those were different and money can control you in so many different ways.
Yeah.
And Diana.
Yeah. Well, what I thought of this point of your money could own you is when you buy a bunch of luxurious, expensive things. Now you take on, you know, you need to maintain them. You need to protect them.
That's
you need
what to, I was thinking yeah. right there.
Like I think about, you know, shortly after I bought my house 6 years ago, we had some break-ins in the neighborhood. It ended up being like some young kids that were just like stealing electronics. But a lot of my neighbors went and like got expensive security systems. We got to protect our stuff, you know? And I remember talking to my neighbors about it and then looking around my house and being like, what are they going to take? The toaster? You know, like I don't have anything of real value that I'm like worried about anyone taking. And I actually think there's a lot of freedom in that. If I had a bunch of like expensive things, now I got to worry about protecting them and buying even more stuff to protect my expensive stuff.
Diana, how could you say that with Buddy?
That's
in
like
your
drive
house?
A beater car. You can keep the windows down wherever you go. You don't have to lock the car. Nothing. Just get right to wherever you're going.
Just
awesome.
Steal me on the side.
No insurance. It's beautiful.
I don't know if you heard what Kitty said, but you have Buddy, who is the most irreplaceable, valuable thing in the world. So,
and the first thing I'd steal in your home, to be honest.
Yes. I'd just be like, come here, Buddy. Come here, Buddy. Have this T-bone.
He would like welcome you in and show you where his most prized possessions are.
That's true. Oh, thank you for this raggedy old chew toy. Thank you, Buddy.
He'd actually escort you right over to the toaster and say, please take it. Right. No, what I was thinking, Diana, very similarly, I immediately thought of this Henry David Thoreau quote, which I had to pull up so that I get the exact
fancy
line.
Thoreau.
Yeah, flex here. The cost of a thing is the amount of what I will call life, which is required to be exchanged for it immediately or in the long run. And I don't know what age I was, but I finally realized that everything that I bought, more stuff that I bought, meant either it would sit in a corner doing nothing and it does nothing for me, so then why do I buy it? Or I'm going to actually spend time with it, doing something with it, and then I'm actually spending this currency, which I have finite amount of, which is time. I can get more money. I can't get more time. And so for me, that's how money ended up using me. But it was amazing, all these different ways that we could be used by cash.
Thanks for throwing that out there, by the way. Oh. I was sitting on it. Didn't hear a word you said.
Once again, I was so excited for my pun. Applications for Kobish. We'll be replacing Kitty.
And there it goes. We're going to come back to this and maybe we'll get through two more of these 13 in the second half. But at the halfway point of every Stacking Benjamins Friday roundtable episode, we have this epic competition between our three frequent contributors, Len Penzo, OG, and Paula Pant. And today, Kitty and Piggy, as we said earlier, you are Team Paula, which means Kitty. There's good news and bad news. Do you want the good news first or the bad news?
Oh, the bad news.
Well, the bad news is that Paula is doing what she does every stinking year in this competition, which is she's in last place.
You did not have to tell me that. I love Paula so much. And part of my love for her is knowing she is coming in last place in a trivia contest.
Always.
No surprise there.
I think her brain is full of all the big stuff. It really is.
Remember that time she like was going to present on a stage in front of like 500 people at economy conference, and she only shaved one of her legs and had to go running back to her
relatable moment
to shave her other leg.
My God, I've never related more to a public figure.
Was the other leg that hairy? Could you actually see the non-shaved leg from the audience?
We declined to comment.
I don't think my legs are that hairy.
We'll get that for Paula next week.
Eat your Wheaties.
That's right. OG wasn't live with us that day. He said it was because he missed his flight. True story is he didn't shave his left leg. That was
Oh no. OG, that's exactly how it happened.
Yes, that's what really happened. But anyway, Paula has one so far this year. OG has two, and our reigning champion Len has three. Which the good news then, Kitty, is that you and Piggy get to go last because you're in last place. OG's gonna guess second. Len guesses first. But we need a trivia question, and that's where Diana comes in. Diana, what are we guessing today?
Hey there, Stackers. I'm Joe's mom's cousin, Diana. On this day in 1921, actor Alan Hale, who played the beloved skipper on Gilligan's Island, was born in Los Angeles to two actors. Hale's parents were both successful, appearing in a combined 300-plus films, mostly silent. Now those are lines I could remember no problem. Gilligan's Island, my dream life. Just a group of friends laying around on the beach all day with nothing to worry about. What an easy life. As much as my family would miss me if I was stranded on an island, it would be nice for me to not have to pay bills for a while. Plus, I'd still be earning on my investments.
Do you think the credit card companies would give up on you, Diana, if you're on Gilligan's Island?
They might.
Like at some point, they're like, this was a 3-hour tour.
This is a 3-hour question. Let me get through it, Joe.
Sally Mae would probably find you on Gilligan's Island.
I think that's how you'd get rescued from the island, is Sally Mae would come find you.
That's exactly. But that was before the student loan crisis. Diana, continue.
But I don't have debt. I'd still be earning on my investments. A steady income with no bills? Sign me up. If Mr. Howell, the most financially savvy of the castaways, had invested $1,000 in the stock market on the day before they set sail, September 26, 1964, he would have come back to a nice chunk of money. Assuming a return of 8%, and of course no additional contributions, it would have been worth $3,172.17 on the day they were rescued. Today's trivia question is, how many days were the castaways stranded on Gilligan's Island? I'll be right back after I find my Swiss Army knife and flares. Jeans, that is.
Of course. You got to have your flare jeans if it's 19.
Oh, my God. Yeah. What was the interest rate?
8%.
8%.
The interest rate.
Okay. Are we allowed to use calculators?
Nope. The calculator in your brain you get to use.
It's been broken since I used it to write boobs in eighth grade.
The question is, how long were they on the island before they were rescued?
How many days? 8% rate of return. Mr. Howell starts with 1,000. He's got 3,700. What?
Wait a minute. Hold on.
$8.
What's that got to? What's the rate of return have to do with how long it's been since they were rescued? How many days they were?
Let's not fill them in.
Because on the day he was rescued, it was worth 3,000. How much was it, Diana? I don't remember.
$3,172.17. So started with 1,000.
Got over 3,000, 8% return. How many days did it take to get there?
Okay. So if I want to do the math, I can work in reverse and figure it out. I have no freaking clue. Are you asking, what is your end point for?
How many days?
When they were rescued? Is it how many days the show ran, or from the day the first premiere to the last day?
No, hypothetically.
How many days were they on the island?
Hypothetically, and it's in the storyline, they were marooned for X number of days.
I'm sorry, I fell asleep in the middle of that.
It was too long, Len. I agree.
We cut it down,
by the way.
It was the squirrels. They distracted him. Leave the man alone.
Let me write this down. 8% return. It started with 1,000 and they ended with what?
3,172 and 17 cents.
Wait. He's writing it down. I don't know if that's allowed. Well,
it's a math problem now.
Yeah, but I can't use a calculator. Listen, I haven't done.
Paper violates the spirit of the treaty, I believe.
All right. All right.
I tend to agree, Len.
Okay. 8% return, $1,000. You finish with 3,172. Okay, I'm going to have to be quiet about how I'm doing this, because if I say how I'm doing this, then everybody else is going to be. I'm going to say,
This is riveting radio, by the way.
Yeah.
Rule of 72. Yeah. Rule of 72, your investment doubles. If it's 8% return, 8 divided by 72 is what?
13.
13 years? So wait, 9 years? 9 years. So a double at 9 and then another
nice try,
another
OG.
Half. A double at 9 and another half is 13. I'm going to say just 13 years.
Well, you got to give us days. The question is days.
13 years times 365. Can somebody please do the math?
So please put Len out of his misery.
And it doesn't matter, because these guys are going to sandwich me. So I did all the work.
Promises, promises.
15, 19... 1,000 and then 365. And so that's 4,765 days.
4,765. OG, what do you think of that number?
What was Len's number?
4,765.
4,765. So in case you don't know, the right way to play this is one of us picks the higher number, one of us picks the lower.
Yep.
And especially with this,
Boo.
We just kind of, you know, yellow it out.
You.
Do you guys have a preference? Would you prefer the over or the under?
I'd really love the over, please, if that's
all right. I'll take the under.
I'm looking out for Paula.
I'll take the under. So whatever Len's was,
I'm
minus
more of an
one.
I Love Lucy person, so this is a big challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sucks to suck, Len.
The last time I thought about Gilligan's Island was when I was like in a college literature course, and I realized that you could sing all of the poems of Emily Dickinson to the Gilligan's Island theme.
That's true.
Yeah. I dwelt in possibility, a fairer house than prose, more numerous for windows, superior for doors.
Art school, guys, it's a steal. Doors. Only $45,000 a year.
Okay, so, gee, I'm going to need you to say a number. What is your number then?
My number is one less than Len's.
One less than Len's. Okay.
Yes.
4,764.
64. Yes. Sure. Sounds great.
And the bitches take 4,766, I'm hearing.
Yes. That is correct.
And Len's shaking his head. What's wrong?
I'm just wondering why I was even part of this question, since I have no.
Thank you for your sacrifice.
Next time I get to choose first, I expect a question with a very small number that I know the answer to. So it won't matter what these other two do.
All right. We've got Len Penzo locked in. We got a Penzo sandwich going on in Mom's basement. Love to tell you who is going to get this one right. Might not be Len, but we'll be right back.
You don't think.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a
likelihood. So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Len, you kicked this off by saying 4,765. How are you feeling about that guess?
Well, you mean I did all the work is what you're saying. Yes, I did all the work.
Well, you're saying you probably nailed it, though. So if you did if it's a math problem, then you nailed it.
No, it's not. It's not quite. I'm off by some small amount. So is it up or down? I don't know. Yeah, I'm bitter.
Ooh. OG, in this sandwich, you took the bottom. You like being on the bottom?
I took the under because I was a scholar and a gentleman and asked the bitches if they would prefer the over, which I actually think is the answer. I think the answer was greater than 13 years. I don't know why, but that's...
Well, remember, the rule of 72 is actually the rule of 69. So I kind of followed the...
Also known as the rule of 420. That's right.
Speaking of sandwiches.
Yeah. Just too far.
Too many sandwiches.
Are you feeling confident? You getting Paula back in this race?
I'm feeling very confident.
As far as expertise in vintage shows about being trapped on stranded islands, we are likely a bit stronger on our Lost. However, we're feeling really good. We're ready to represent.
Yeah. Good one.
But can you do Emily Dickinson to the Lost theme? I don't think so.
The Lost theme is just...
It's a
By the way, wasn't that kind of anticlimactic, the whole ending? You went, they strung us out for like 7 years and then
I know.
The end was
I waited
like
5 years to watch the last season, and by the time I watched it, I was like, okay, this is adequate. This does the job. But at the time I was too angry to watch it.
Oh, Piggy, when I heard an interview, maybe in season 3 with the writers were like, yeah, we don't even know where it's going. Exactly. I'm like, I'm not investing time in this. Like, if you don't know where it's going, why am I going to
write? They were making it up near the end.
I figured out how Lost ended because it was in a movie. It was like in This Is 40, that funny kind of comedy movie with Paul, what's his name?
Paul Rudd.
And the daughter was watching it, and she found out how it ended and was just apoplectic over the ending.
So just watch We Are 40. And you'll get it. Speaking of that, we're going to be 40 years older when we get to the answer to this. Diana, who's going to win this thing?
Save us, Diana.
Hey there, stackers. I'm survivalist and bitch who do well on dates, even on a deserted island, Joe's mom's cousin Diana. During the break, I applied to be a contestant on the show Survivor.
It was a long break. You had plenty of time.
They ask you all kinds of personal questions, like your birthday, your height, your weight. There's a good chance that, like Doug often does, they'll think I'm lying about my dimensions and throw out my application. If I don't hear from them, I'll know what happened. Some people just can't accept perfection.
No.
Today's trivia question is, how many days were the castaways stranded on Gilligan's Island? The answer? The close-knit group of seven included the professor, who was a science teacher. During their time on the island, he built a number of things, including a washing machine, an electric generator, and a lie detector test. An odd collection of things to spend time on when he could have been fixing the boat. Accounting for leap years, he would have been able to work on it for either 5,478 or 5,479 days. Now, I thought it was so interesting watching Len do these calculations because I knew the answer. And the math was mathing until he gave me his answer, which is 714 days under the actual answer, which means that the bitches are our winners.
Woo! Yay!
You're welcome,
I'm looking
Paula.
For the music. Where is the music? Here it is. Nice job, ladies.
Thank you.
Good work.
Thank you. We would like to thank Len for bothering to do a little bit of math in his head. And we would like to thank OG for letting us choose the over or the under. We truly couldn't have done it without both of you. But really, we think Paula has us to thank for
Yeah,
her,
we definitely could not have won, except that you two both lost.
Nice. You know, as the bastards that we are, OG, we really we fought each other. And look what happened.
Anybody but
the bitches
Len.
Win. That's the bitches
oh,
no. won.
That's the name of my
the bitches always
trivia
win.
Strategy for 2024. It's either me or not Len. Those are my two options.
Piggy, to add to your thanks, I'd like to thank depositaccounts.com for waiting forever until I mentioned their brand. So we finally made it to the second part of this show. Kitty, you know what happens when you go to depositaccounts.com?
You're probably going to get a better experience than having everything made out of coconuts.
slightly better. You can compare more than 275,000 deposit rates from over 11,000 banks and credit unions for free. Pinch me. If you go just to depositaccounts.com, you'll see the current rates on savings accounts, CDs, checking, and money markets. And get this, the national average, as you're reading this, check this out the day that you hear this, because we're recording a little early. National average on a savings rate It's 0.51%.
0.53%. It went up while we were doing this last trivia thing.
Because it took us so long.
The top 1% is 4.98% if you're in the top 1%. So that brick and mortar bank might not be doing all it can. Head to depositaccounts.com to compare Ditch Switch and Save. All right. Let's go over some of these. We covered two of them. Which one really spoke to you? Kitty, why don't you kick us off?
Oh, hold on one second. I actually have to lean closer to see it. Okay, there was one that I liked, which is the one. Which one is the one about? Oh, here it is. Okay.
She's doing so well, you guys. But again, I am looking for a replacement. So again, Piggy at bitchesgetriches.com.
Okay, so I really like... Could someone with their screen closer to their bodies read the bit about how someone's psychological wounds can influence how they spend their money?
Me too. How you spend money can be a reflection of what you've experienced in life. That one, Kitty?
Yes.
To someone who grew up snubbed by poverty, owning a fancy car might be the ultimate symbol of what you've overcome. To an old money family, it might be the ultimate symbol of ego and insecurity. People don't just spend money on things they find fun or useful. Their decisions often reflect their psychological wounds of their life experiences. Kitty, this is so true.
Absolutely. I think you cannot just like snap your fingers and, oh, I have an abundance mindset now, even though I grew up without enough food to go around. And so much of the money spending behavior that we can see in people that looks so illogical, it has its own logic. They're not just being like sort of like, I'm the Mad Hatter in Alice in Wonderland. I'm wacky for no reason. Instead, they are doing something that makes sense if you could view it within the context of their entire life and how they grew up and what they value and what was denied to them at formative times in their life. So that one really touches me because I think we always touch on the fact that like personal finance is personal. What matters to one person is not even a remote priority to another, but like wounds, the wounds that someone carries is a really interesting way to put it.
It's funny when you talk about looking from the outside in somebody's expenses, you might think they're crazy the way they spend money. We had an expert on recently who had a great point when they said that instead of leading with that's stupid, lead with, if you're going to say something at all to someone, say, how did you start there? Like, what happened? And this person said, there's always a story behind it, Kitty. There's always a story. And once you know the story, you get this whole different perspective you didn't have before you asked that question.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Diana, it's interesting because I'm thinking about some of the speakers you've had on the stage at Economy and some of their stories, like money is so often much more psychological and much less, I don't know, fact-based or much, you know, practical than we think it is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think about just because you have money doesn't mean that you are enjoying the emotional benefits of having money. Like I think about even Carl Jensen on the Economy stage, and we've all heard that historic interview that he did with Ramit where you know, him and Mindy are what, sitting on $4 million and they have trouble spending it. There can be a tendency when you have financial goals to be overly fixated on those goals. But the goal isn't to sit on a pile of money. The goal is to use money as a tool to build a life focused on what actually matters. But money isn't what actually matters. It's almost like you have to get a bunch of money before you can realize that. And I feel like I'm in this community where I'm surrounded by millionaires who look up at their net worth and all they feel is fear. And it's kind of, it's madness. You know, I think we have to start enjoying the security that can come from having a financial safety net, but we got to go use that money to do stuff. We can't just sit on a pile of it.
Yeah, because while you're sitting on that pile of it, you're wasting again that commodity that we can't get back, the time. Piggy, which one of these spoke to you?
Well, first off, I want to say don't like speak for yourself when you say you can't sit on a pile of money because I can sit on a lot of things. My butt is wide and flat and Italian. I can sit
if I
on
want
some
to,
money.
Joe.
Like a bird on a nest. No, the one that really spoke to me was near the bottom where Morgan Housel says there's no such thing as an objective level of wealth. Everything is relative to someone else. I really feel like that speaks to me because I wrote a piece years ago about the subjectivity of expensiveness and how to some people things are really expensive and to other people they're really not expensive based on your net worth, how much income you make, et cetera, et cetera. And I feel like the same thing applies to wealth. And a lot of folks have a bad habit of only looking up when comparing and not looking down. And what I mean by that is if you are evaluating yourself by other people, very often you're like, oh my gosh, well, I'm going to look at this person over here who has a really nice car, a really big house, like they can afford a cleaner, they can afford nice haircuts, and they're not looking at the person below them on the great staircase of financial inequality and going, oh, well, I can afford things that this person can't. So the objectivity of wealth is non-existent because to the person below you, you are quite wealthy. But to you, you know, you're not looking below. You're comparing yourself to people above. So you might be like, I'm not wealthy. I can't afford my house being cleaned four times a month. Can you tell that like my house needs to be cleaned? That really spoke to me because again, I need to look at the, you know, the mother of twins panhandling in the grocery store parking lot when I'm feeling down on my luck and not the person who lives in my neighborhood and has an immaculately manicured lawn in a much larger house.
Well, and this is OG, what Strategic Coach, OG and I both get coaching from this group called Strategic Coach. They caution us on because people, as explained by Strategic Coach, OG, they keep moving the goalpost, right? I mean, if you don't sit and stop comparing yourself and just look at what you've accomplished, you'll always move the goalpost. Mm-hmm.
Well, I think it's important to continually work on yourself. Sometimes that means having higher aspirational goals, but by the same token, there's some limit of enough, you know, when it comes to just generally stuff. And we work with a lot of clients on long-term financial planning, and Len was trying to do some math in his head about the power of compounding, and it's really profound. We just can't do it in our heads to forecast, if I save this money for this, you know, my entire lifetime, how much money will I have? And you do just an Excel worksheet and you see, oh, it says I'm going to have $25 million if I do this, or, you know, some big number. And my contention along the way with all of this is that you'll never see that, because hopefully someone in your corner, whether that's somebody like us or other people around you, will go like, hold on, time out. You don't need to die with $25 million. Like, it's cool to build the hospital now. Like, do it now. Like, have the fun or have the experiences or make the difference or do whatever is important to you right now while you're able to enjoy that, while you're able to see the benefits of it. There's a very popular book, The Die with Zero book. And we were just talking about this with a client a little bit ago. I don't particularly like the idea of dying with zero. That's a gamble that I don't want to take. Plus, I think that we get the benefit of time. And why would I want to rob my kids of the fact that I had 90 or 100 years to save money ahead of them and like to give them that power of compounding that I took the first 100 years on? I think that's a great gift. But I don't think that's the message of it. I don't think the message is like literally die with zero. It's like try to make an impact on the things that are important to you while they can be important to the people that you're trying to make an impact on. You know, if you go out and ask the Make-A-Wish people, would you rather have $10 million in 50 years from now, or would you rather have my $10,000 contribution today? Every day of the week, they'll say, give us the $10,000 today, because we've got a kid right now we can send to Disney World. Yeah, and $10 million in 100 years would probably be great too. But we've got kids now that need to
You probably won't be
it.
Able to get into Disneyland for $10 million 50
You're
years
probably
from now.
Right. If you've been there recently, I can attest to the fact that it's gone up. That's how I think about a lot of this stuff is it's not an either or. This is a continuum of decision making. And all of this stuff kind of resonates with, I think, people who are thinking about financial planning the right way.
What's interesting, the thing that I think about as I think about, OG, what you said and to what the piece that you brought up, and this piece, Piggy, is, you know, that old kind of trite phrase that comparison is the thief of joy, but it also is the thief of what makes us different and how it is this personal journey. Like you talked about, OG, earlier that, you know, for you, buying individual properties was horrible. For my son, it's 100% what he'd rather do and would rather do nothing else. Owns these rental properties and he's going to actively buy more. He doesn't think of it as passive, quote, passive income. I think that's kind of laughable, but he certainly thinks of it as his path to financial independence.
And that's why I think it's so important to recognize that everybody is in a different place and can be successful in different things. You know, there's especially when it comes to money, there's so many different paths to financial independence or financial stability or whatever the case may be. Some people take one path, and then we've got to be careful to not be on that on one side and go, well, that side's stupid. It's like, well, no, there's plenty of people who are fabulously wealthy buying real estate. And some people are really great with day trading penny stocks. I mean, it's not what I would do. It doesn't make my way good and their way bad. It's what's good for you in the skill set that you have, the capacity that you have to get better at whatever it is that you're working on. So
Len, give us one more.
Let's see. The one that resonated with me was the unspent money buy something intangible but valuable. He says, freedom, independence, autonomy, and control over your time. This is his writing. It says, every dollar of savings buys a claim check on the future. That's one way to look at it. I like the reverse way of looking at it, and that is when you're spending money that you don't have, you're actually buying into indentured servitude. So you're actually limiting your choices in life. So look at it that way. That's less choices when you're borrowing, more choices when you're saving. That being said, if you have to borrow, make sure you always borrow from a pessimist.
Why?
Well, because they never expect you to pay it back.
Or borrow from Paula Pant. Didn't Paula say when she loans you money, it's a gift?
Yep.
So I immediately asked her for $5,000. You should have heard. I mean, that didn't happen. I was kind of, I'm like, come on, Paula. It's amazing. Kitty, when you go and buy something, do you think about it in Len's terms? Do you think about it of I'm getting rid of freedom? I'm exchanging this purchase for freedom tomorrow?
I have never thought of money any other way. I remember very vividly that my very first job was as a camp counselor for a kids' summer camp. And I had to wake up at 5 a.m. to be at the camp by 6. And there was only one place in our tiny, tiny town that was open at that time, which was Krispy Kreme. So me and all of my coworkers would converge at the Krispy Kreme at the same time at the crack of dawn. And not to date myself, but this means that I would have been making $6.25 an hour, would have been the minimum wage at the time, when I would buy a donut and a coffee. It was almost $6.25. And so every morning I went in knowing that I just spent my first hour of labor just to feed myself enough to get up the energy to chase these horrible children.
You know what though, Kitty? That is a great way of teaching kids about the value of money as well. I still do that with my kids, even though they're growing up, but I've always done that. Says, hey, it's going to take you 2 hours now to make of work to pay for what you just bought. And that seems to really sink in with kids. So that's great.
Well, but I was going to say, Kitty, working at a summer camp for kids, no wonder you chose something that's like 90% sugar just to give yourself the energy to chase those kids around.
They were coming for me on the four square court, and I needed to defend my status as the king. So I really needed everything I could get.
Children are a blessing.
Back then, Kitty's blog was called Bitches Get Stitches.
That's right.
True story.
Come for me, you're going to find out what asphalt feels like on your face.
I think that's a great place to leave it. Don't come for Kitty. We're going to finish right there. Let's find out what's happening where all of you are at. We'll have our guest of honor go last. So, OG, what you got going on this weekend?
This week is leading into spring break. So my oldest actually tomorrow is taking his SATs, and then we're going to go skiing for a couple of days. I got to stay home because I've got real work to do, but shucks, I have the house to myself. Well, it really bums me out that I'm not going to be able to hang out with my family for a week. Bummer. But so that's what's going on. A quiet week around the OG house.
Fabulous. Len, what's going on at lenpenzo.com, man?
You know, every once in a while, I do have something useful on the blog. And this week, we talk about, there's actually an allocation that's been a portfolio allocation, not the 60-40, but there's one out there that with a mix of four different assets that some people call the perfect portfolio diversification scheme. So what are those four assets? Stop by lenpenzo.com and you'll find out. But the returns over a 100-year period have been... The proof is in the pudding, and they've done very well, actually better than the 60-40 asset allocation.
Wait a minute. I think I got them, Len.
You do?
Lottery tickets, cigarettes, and I don't have the other two.
Well, that's good.
Candy, candy cane, candy corn.
Hookers and blow?
I'm glad you didn't reveal the other two, Joe. But Ellen, one last thing is when you do stop by, please click on those ads. Two or three at least would be very helpful to me as a retired person.
It's a fun game for the whole family. Get the whole family over there. Limpets. Just click everything. Yes. Kitty and Piggy, so glad you guys spent time with us again. That was so fun. Thanks for hanging out.
Our pleasure.
What's happening at Bitches Get Riches? I just spent some time, maybe a week ago, going through all the different ways to pay down debt that you had. The snowball method and, by the way, anytime that you can put poetry in there and rag on Mr. Ramsey a little bit and have some fun, that was a good time.
Thank you very much. And you can enjoy more of that at bitchesgetriches.com at any time. You can find all of our social media there. But we have kind of something exciting that I mentioned earlier. This month, we are launching our burnout course. It is incredible. It is a 2-hour video and 75-page workbook with practical, actionable exercises and advice on how to identify, manage, and heal from burnout, specifically career burnout, though we do talk about interpersonal burnout and caregiving burnout as well. And people can check that out at our website, bitchesgetriches.com/courses.
Awesome.
You're leaving out the most important thing, which is that it's very funny.
Oh, it is so funny. It's the funniest. It is the funniest.
I wrote it at 3 a.m. and I think it's hilarious.
And I edited it so that it actually is.
Betrayal. Top 10 anime betrayals.
Just kidding. You're very funny, dear.
Thank you.
I love you and I show it without money.
I'm just imagining Kitty waking up at like 6:30 next to her laptop with the vodka spilled over. And she's like, was that a fever dream or was I brilliant? And she looks at the words on the screen and goes, nope, it was brilliant.
The closer we get to dawn, the more confident I become in all of my jokes.
Which confidence is everything, especially in writing.
Oh, especially.
Awesome. And we will link to that. It's at bitchesgetriches.com/courses. All right. We'll link to that. We'll link to Mr. Penzo's 4 asset classes, which may or may not include cigarettes and lottery tickets. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out with us today. Diana, you've got the last word here. What should be on our to-do list?
So what's stacked up on our to-do list for today? First, take some advice from the bitches and don't let your financial goals lead to burnout. It's just not worth it. Second, as our headline today pointed out, there's no such thing as an objective level of wealth. So stop comparing yourself to the Kardashians and look how far you've come. But what's the biggest to-do? I'm going to invest $1,000 in the stock market today, just in case I find myself stranded on an island one day. That way, I'll have enough to retire to a different island after I'm rescued. You can find out more about Piggy and Kitty at bitchesgetriches.com. We'll also include links in our show notes at stackingbenjamins.com. Thanks to Len Penzo for joining us today. You can find Len at lenpenzo.com. Are you looking for more fun? Join me and a ton of other money nerds at the Economy Conference next weekend. If you hurry, you still might be able to get in before we sell out. Head to economyconference.com and use Stacking Benjamins, one word, for a 10% discount. Thanks also to OG for joining us today. Looking for good financial planning help? Head to stackingbenjamins.com/OG for his calendar.
The show is the property of SB Podcasts, LLC, copyright 2024, and is created by Joe Salcihi. Our producer is Karen Repine. This show is written by Lisa Curry, who's also the host of the Long Story Long podcast, with help from me, Joe, Kate Youngkin, Karen Repine, and Doc G from the Earn and Invest podcast. Kevin Bailey helps us take a deeper dive into all the topics covered on each episode in our newsletter called The 201. You'll find the 411 on all things money at the 201. Just visit stackingbenjamins.com/201. Wonder how beautiful we all are? Of course you do, but you'll never know if you don't check out our YouTube version of the show, engineered by Tina Eichenberg. Then you'll see once and for all that I'm the best thing going for this podcast. Once we bottle up all this goodness, we ship it to our engineer, the amazing Steve Stewart. Steve helps the rest of our team sound nearly as good as I do right now. Want to chat with friends about the show later? Mom's friend Gertrude, Stacy Doe, and Julia Garib are our social media coordinators, and Gertrude is the room mother in our Facebook group called The Basement. So say hello when you see us posting online. To join all the basement fun with other stackers, type stackingbenjamins.com/basement. For more interactive fun, join us on Instagram every Tuesday and Thursday for our Instagram Lives. Kate Youngkin and Joe host those weekly. Not only should you not take advice from these nerds, don't take advice from people you don't know. This show is for entertainment purposes only. Before making any financial decisions, speak with a real financial advisor. I'm Joe's mom's neighbor, Doug, and we'll see you next time back here at the Stacking Benjamin Show.
Ugh, that was so bad it locked up my computer.
Quick, let's get out of here before it finds the key. No, I mean it.
All right.
Well, I hope you got a lot out of today's episode, but one thing that we talked about a little bit today, but we talk about a lot, is you got to have good partners on your team, Stackers. And you know what? Navy Federal Credit Union could be that partner, because becoming a member at Navy Federal Credit Union could help you earn more and save more. And aren't those two of the big tenets, right? Have a debt strategy, earn more, save more. Their certificate options could earn you more than standard savings accounts with competitive rates. Not all financial institutions offer you as many choices for savings options as Navy Federal does. For example, you can start your savings journey with a low minimum deposit, add money at any time, and watch your savings grow. I think that's the coolest certificate. Thanks to flexible terms, you can use Navy Federal savings options for all kinds of goals, short or long term. Considering a big home improvement project? Maybe you want to consolidate debt. Well, as you're putting your plan together, you want to also have a debt strategy, right? And you could borrow up to 100% of your home's equity with a fixed rate home equity loan with zero closing cost, or easily borrow as you go with a home equity line of credit. Don't get in over your head with debt. Make sure you have a great strategy and then take out debt as you need it. And Navy Federal's options certainly give you the flexibility to help you make life's big expenses seem more manageable. To learn more, visit NavyFederal.org. At Navy Federal, our members are the mission. Navy Federal is insured by NCUA, equal housing lender, membership required, terms and conditions apply, loan subject to approval.